following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Okay. That, some of that stuff gets me upset too. But anyway, we're getting back to fishing. We're looking at a lot of the stuff that we talk about off the air. Mm-hmm. It gets us fired up about, like, you know, building the wall and different things like this, and how, you know, if you're illegal alien, you can get all the help you need. And you're going through some stuff too with your mom, and then, you know, my daughter, stuff doing with her and everything, and it's such a shame. And then the waste of the money that goes on. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable, you know.
Yeah, it amazes me how much money's wasted in our government on stuff that it's just waste.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well, you even look at the fact, the studies they've done on Snapper.
Yeah.
For instance.
How many studies
millions of dollars are they spending? They've created jobs by doing it, mm-hmm. and I'm sure now these people don't want to lose their jobs now that they're understanding that Snapper is, you know, it's there, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And then here they just, you know, like you say, they've had to create more jobs for people to be able to keep track of all this, and, you know, and here, really all they got to do is go fishing with somebody.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Because we're out there every day.
They're not going to go fishing and see what it's actually like. They're going to sit in an office somewhere and talk about what the computer says it's like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what kind of gets me, you know. But, I mean, you know, they did a, you know, back in the 70s and when the big thing was about Russia and all this stuff, you know, because I know in the 60s you probably, you know, don't remember this because you probably weren't even born until.
65.
Yes. Well. Oh, were you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not.
But we
that
had the
young.
Cuban crisis, you know, where, you know, we all were worried about the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that. But on the northern edge of North Dakota, you know, I was watching this stuff on TV a lot of times. It's 15 miles from Canada. There's this place. There's this compound that the government built, and what it was supposed to be the Russian defense. First line Russian defense, and we had it way inland. But they built a supercomputer back when, I mean, this was, you know, when the computers were big, too. Mm-hmm. You know, weren't like a little, like our phones, you know, pocket size. But anyway, they spent $5 billion, which is like when I saw this show talking about it, it's today's cost is $27 billion. All right. And they built this computer, this supercomputer, biggest one ever built during that time. And it was supposed to be able to take up to 10 million bits of information per second coming in and going out, so that they could, if they was to react to a missile or whatever, you know, coming toward the U.S. So they had like 46 missiles, you know, stored there, long range missiles and the Spartan missile too, and then the short range missiles. But it opened in 1975. It opened in 1976. And the lights were on for 3 days, and they shut it down. 3 days.
Wow.
And they shut it down. It's called Nekoma. It's N-E-K-O-M-A is the name of the compound. And I was watching this. I'm like, you know, they build this huge compound, and it's open. The lights are actually on for 3 days. Computer work for 3 days, and then they shut the whole place down.
Wow. Yep.
Now, you know, and it's sitting there. You ever seen this show, something of the abandoned?
Yeah.
Yes, that's where I saw it at. Yeah.
Well, like the one they had, I think it was one in Russia like that was built too.
Mm-hmm.
A really strange looking building. That
Up on the mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big
mm-hmm.
octagon shaped building or whatever, dome looking building.
Yeah.
Well, now I guess we have, they want to change our trout. which I kind of agree with some of it.
I do too.
You know, I like to, you know, I've been looking at our trout. You know, it was weird. We were talking about how we weren't catching that many big trout this year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now they're going crazy. And
now they're talking about the trout.
Yeah. Well, it's.
But so we had a trout meeting about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember David Boies was there and all that. And they talked, they kind of got some ideas then from different people. You know, there was only like 12 people there, but, you know, they still got some ideas from different people. So didn't you tell me there's a meeting coming up?
I think there's one coming up. But it's, I think what their proposal is I think it's five fish between 15 and 19 inches, nothing over 20. That's commercial and recreational. So, you know, and at our, you know, a 19 inch trout is a good trout to keep, mm-hmm. you know, once they get over 20, you know, and the weird part was a lot of these fish we're catching right now are loaded with eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, do we have a double spawn? Do we have two spawns?
I think they spawn more than that.
Yeah.
More than twice a year. I mean, because sometimes you'll be catching them and they're, you know, no eggs. And then all of a sudden, you know, you catch and you get like five trout. They all got eggs in them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, 2 months later, do the same thing.
Loaded with eggs again.
I think a trout and, you know, we used to, you know, had a closed season because they thought they only spawned in
January, February.
And, you know, when they first started the closed season, if you remember, it was December, January, February the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you'd start really tearing them up about the second week of December, you know.
I know.
You catch all you want.
Yeah, you can throw anything and catch them, you know.
So, but anyway, they finally stopped the closed season here. You know, I knew that they still ran the closed season for quite a while down south. But they finally stopped it here, and then they had the closed season on the West Coast for a while. But I don't think they have one at all anywhere now.
I don't think they do. I think there's some stuff. I think on the West Coast, they've shut down a lot of stuff right now because of the, problems they had with the tides and everything, or the, algae blooms. But
one of my suggestions, you know, whenever I was there talking about it, I suggested that they allow people. If they wanted a top limit on it, that's fine, but they should drop the bottom limit to like 14 inches. Now, this doesn't make a very big trout.
No.
You know, but the thing about it is how many 14 and a half, 14 and three quarter, 14 and seven eighths inch trout do you catch?
True.
And I really believe that instead of somebody sitting there catching 20 small trout trying to get a legal one, mm-hmm. they're hooking these fish, they're handling these fish. I think if you had your limit of 14 and was able to have people keep a 14 and a half, a 14 three quarter, they could go ahead and get their limit and not affect a whole bunch more fish.
I agree with that.
And I think that our fishery will be a little more healthier because of that. Because, I mean, you know how it is when you catch fish. I mean, even like on a Cajun Thunder or Bob's floating, and the reason I use the Cajun Thunder analogy, I mean, a lot of people are using those, and then Rob's Pro Popper and all that. There's sometimes you sit there and be catching fish in a creek, and all of a sudden one of them just swallows a hook.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they got a big mouth. They'll take a bait sometime and swallow it down in there. He's 14 and three quarters, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I try to cut the hook off, you know, because, I mean, if you go rip it out of him, you're just going to kill him anyway.
I've had great success with his mini brainers
mm-hmm.
using live bait for trout because they get hooked in the side of the jaw
mm-hmm.
and they stay on. And, you know, I don't gut hook them, which drives me crazy because a lot of people, you know, you catch a small one, some people don't, you know, you look at a client, they don't seem to care as much to take care of that fish. I'm like, whoa, be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we need to grow.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. It's, I think, and if you had five trout that were 14 to 16 inches, that's a nice amount of fish to keep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, people keep whiting that are not that big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're looking at, you know, trying to sustain the fishery, I just think if they drop that size limit down a little bit, that people would keep. I mean, if they're ready to keep a 15-incher if he's dead on 15. Mm-hmm. So I know they'd keep a 14 three-quarter.
Yeah.
So why go through putting these fish through all that other stuff, you know, of that other stress?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida. If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, oh my goodness, we got Taylor on there. Good morning, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, listening to you.
I think the trout, trying to mess with it, is just a waste of time. You know, if they want to regulate the trout, I think they should just weigh it. Because, like, I've been out there plenty of times that I caught, like, a little 17, 18-inch trout, and they don't have no meat on it. So, like, trying to say, oh, we can't keep one over 20 is just ridiculous. Like,
it's not ridiculous, Taylor. Every time.
Look at.
No, listen for 1 second, bro.
All right.
It's not ridiculous when those are the ones producing all the eggs.
I understand that, but I mean, there's not a lot, like, tons of people out there catching them. And if you look at the 17-inch trout or the 15-inch trout that's legal, there's nothing on it. What's the point of even keeping it? It's like trying to keep a 12-inch flounder. It's 12-inch flounder.
So you'd rather just keep and kill all the big ones than to let go the ones that are actually producing?
Well, I mean, it's just you're going to keep it. You don't want to keep the quality size and get some fillets off of you. And not everybody out there is catching, you know, 20. 22, 23, 24, and less the guys that are out there. You know, there's a select few that are actually targeting those big trout, but not a lot of people know how to catch them. Most people go out there with a popping cork, put a shrimp on, and hope they catch a big one, you know, and they get it by accident. But there's not a lot of people out there every single day targeting the big trout.
Well,
so I think if you had one and you, a couple people keep a couple oversized limits, nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, to tell a guy that, oh, we can only keep a 15 and 19, and there's no meat on it, what's the point of even keeping the 15-inch trout? You might as well say, hey, don't keep any, you know?
Well, let me tell you, people will catch a whiting, a smaller whiting than that, and keep it. It's all in, you know, to me, if they was to come down on that top limit and let these fish go ahead and breed and restock the population, it's sort of like me thinking on the black drum. I mean, we were talking about this off the air. It just gets me to allow people to kill a 50, 60, 70-pound black drum that's going to have a million babies in one spawning season. And then you kill that fish. That's not only a million babies that we've lost, you know, a million fry. That's a million this year, a million next year, a million the year after, the year after. I mean, and the population, you know, they protect the big reds. I think that they ought to protect, you know, quite a few of the big fish. And trout is one of them. I mean, I don't know what size limit would be good to make, because some of these fish, believe it or not, some of these fish 17, 18 inches are loaded with eggs. So, you know, I don't know what size limit myself, because I don't know the studies on the trout that good. But I'm looking at, you know, myself, I think that they ought to drop the size limit down to 14 inches. Let people keep them down to 14. That way, I mean, there's a lot of people. Like, well, there's a lot of people that are catching 14 and a half, 14 and three quarter, 14 and 7/8 inch fish. And I think if we're hurting those fish by hooking so many of them trying to get a 15-inch fish, I think if they went ahead and let them keep a 14 and a half, 14 and three quarter, they go ahead and get their five or six fish, whatever they make a new limit, and they'd go target something else. They'd have their trout for the day, and they'd go target something else.
But a lot of people, when they catch those trout, they don't know how to fillet them and stuff. So if you're catching a 14 or 15 inch trout, even a 17, most of them, you know, sometimes a size doesn't matter. It's about the weight, you know, because like I've caught tons of trout, you know, just trolling in my kayak. And you catch a little 15-inch trout, that thing might barely weigh a pound. So you're going to chop his head off and fillet him up. How much meat you're going to get off of that thing? It's better just to let him go, let him grow up. And if they raise it, it may be like 25 or something, the bigger ones, and then, you know, make the minimum size like maybe 20 or whatever. You know, people will throw all those little ones back. I don't think if you kill them, if you take them off right, because they got small lips, so you can unhook them unless you're using like a big hook, but then you can't catch them. So I mean, they don't really die if you unhook them properly. But
you're talking about making them a minimum limit 20 inches.
Well, I mean then you can throw all those other ones smaller back or something. I don't know. I mean, I just think they people always want to regulate something, but there's tons of trout out there. It's not like they're going away. I mean, there's trout everywhere. If you go in the surf, how many trout I've caught on that mirror lure, there's plenty of trout.
I realize that, but if you only keep the spawners, our trout population would be gone.
Yeah, but the thing is, people ain't catching the thing. That's the thing, though. How many people you see on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you know, they're not catching the big ones. So, you know, there's a select few in Jacksonville, like I said, that is targeting us every day, like Eddie. You know, he goes out there, you see him putting up, and I've been in the boat with him, and ain't nothing. He just throws those big old fish, and he puts them back. But, I mean, I don't know anybody besides him and Chip and a couple other people that are actually catching those big ones. They're hard to catch.
Obviously, you don't know a lot of charter captains then, because, I mean, like this past week, every trout we caught was over 20 inches.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, but the charters are not ruining the fishing, though. It's the most of the majority that are going out. It's way more people than charter captains.
Well, that's why everybody can have an opinion on it, and I guess if it comes up for a vote, then that could happen. So,
yeah, well, that's what needs to happen. Everybody just needs to go to the meeting, and, you know, if there's a meeting coming up, we'll try to figure it out, you know, maybe post it on Facebook or something, or try to find out if there's a meeting, and everybody can go voice their own opinion.
But the thing is, even if you're on the trout, though, if you're going to regulate fish, they need to go over all the fish and say, look, okay, what can we need to do about the grouper? What can we do about this? Go over that. Like a 12-inch flounder, there's nothing on it. Why would you want to keep a 12-inch flounder? People keep it all the time. It's stupid to see people go to Guana and they'll keep everything. You'll be like, well, what are you going to do with that? You know, they eat it all. They're just the ones that are hurting our fishery. They're just putting, they don't even know how to cook it. They just fry and eat it. And it's like, why can't you just put that fish back, you know, let it grow a little bit, but they'll catch it and keep it because it's legal. So I think if they look over the whole fishery as a whole and figure, okay, let's try to figure out what's worth keeping and what's not, and then make it better.
They do need to look at the fishery as a whole, but they also need fishermen to attend these FWC meetings. When they have a meeting about the trout, I was just talking about before the last break that the last meeting I went to, I know Dave Borries was there. I was there. There was like, I think there was like 12 people there, you know, and I mean, that's just 12 people out of all the fishermen we have here. That's ridiculous, you know.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Well, you'll make a post on Facebook and you'll have 1,000 people blast on it, but then nobody shows up for the meeting.
Right, exactly. So, yep. Well, thank you, Taylor. I appreciate your call, buddy.
All right, then. Talk there.
All right. Bye-bye. Morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening, Chris?
How you doing, sir?
Yep. Good, man. I thought Leon was the guest this morning, and Chip was out fishing. I guess that was a flip-flop there. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I've been enjoying listening to the show. Leon was cracking me up about trying to remember his number, but that happened to me the other day. I had a guy come in giving me estimates on new windows and what's your number, and I'm like, I had to stop and think about it. I mean, when you think about it, how often do you call yourself, you know? You yeah. call all these other, I know my son's number, I can rattle my son's number right off, but you ask me my number and I have to stop and think about it for a second, you know. But anyway, yeah, y'all are cracking me up between Leon thinking about his number and then listening to some of the chatter. Yeah. You just brought up an excellent point, Vic, and Chip too, about, yeah, you try to get these people to show up for the meetings and it's like crickets, right? But
yeah.
Yet look what happened during the little 5-day snapper season. You got rigs. You got Mike Scanlon, Mayport Ramp, packed and rigs all the way down to the little jetties, and yet you can't get any of those people to show up for the red snapper meetings back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the only time they really showed up is after it was closed, if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have like 15, 18 people show up at a meeting, and then after it was closed, we were down there. Where was that? Called Adams Mark, I think, downtown. And after yeah. it was closed, that one meeting, we had like 400 and something people show up. I'm like, it's closed.
Yeah.
It's done.
A little too late.
You know? But, yeah, I mean, the same thing, you know, the same thing with the trout. I mean, well, it's like that surf fishing for shark meeting that you and Ted and I went to. I mean, how many actual fishermen were there? How many surf fishermen were there?
Yeah, I felt, you know? I felt like we were totally outnumbered.
Oh, we were.
I mean, it was just a demonstration is all it was anti-fishermen and activists. I mean, you saw they had their act together. They had banners made up.
Yeah, and they had groups that they situated throughout the room, so it looked like they just had separate people, but they were all together. And it's just that they know how to do it. See, I'm gonna tell you, Chris. I've always said, you know, back when we was doing the RFA, the Recreational Fishing Alliance stuff, and all the rallies and everything, I've always said we've got a huge army here. We could make changes, but we're just not going to get it done. You know,
I know.
People just I know, won't. They, the fishermen just will not stick together, no matter what. You know,
I know. But the strange thing is that some of the opposition to the stuff that we do and have been. I mean, no fisherman wants to exterminate the fishery. Okay. I mean, since I was a little tiny guy going out on party boats out of Miami, my skippers always imposed their own limits. I mean, you couldn't take them. They would not let you put a mangrove under 12 inches in the bucket. I mean, and, you know, what's the limit now? 10? So.
Yeah, 10 inshore, 12 offshore. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it. It's something else, Chris. I know it. It's you know, it kind of gets me because, I mean, I've been to these meetings for years now, you know, and it's kind of a shame. I mean, that time you and Ted and I went over there to that shark, you know, shorebound shark fishing. That was just, we were so outnumbered, it was unreal. I mean,
yeah, you talk about it, they were an organized lobby of activists.
Yeah, and of course, the fishermen are the worst thing that's ever happened, you know. I mean, it's they don't, you know. Watch Shark Week. See how many fish those sharks eat. We're not the only ones fishing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Vic, we were darned if we do, darned if we don't.
Exactly.
We're either attracting the sharks to bite other people, or we're exterminating the sharks. So we're really the bad guys.
Yep. Thank you, Chris.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A popular surfing beach had to be closed today after a cliff collapse, sending tons of sandstone onto beachgoers and killing three people. North of San Diego, the 30-foot-long slab of cliff plunged into the sand near Grandview Beach. A KSND-TV helicopter captured footage of beach chairs, towels, and surfboards, as well as toys strewn about the sand. Other beachgoers and lifeguards at nearby towers scrambled to the towering pile of debris, trying to help. Meanwhile, the names of the victims have not yet been released. Democrats openly oppose President Trump's selection for National Intelligence Director. Texas Representative John Ratcliffe and some Republicans remained lukewarm, and for now, he has withdrawn from consideration just 5 days after growing questions about his experience and qualifications caused him to fear the process. This is SRN News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to
lose.
Get
a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024. Use promo code WBOB.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Florida controls the destiny of this nation, and we live on the front lines in the fight for America. Our votes, our actions will determine our future. We are the battleground. Tune in to Battleground News with Karen Morton and Jim Davis, covering national, state, and local issues, and how you can enlist in this battle for America's future. 5 to 6 p.m. every Monday and Friday, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1. Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
There will be a 60% chance of rain and partly sunny skies tonight with a high of 89. Then about a 40% chance of rain through next weekend, looking for partly sunny days and highs into the lower 90s. Mostly cloudy at night, lows around 75.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and we got Ted on here. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. How you doing, Vic?
What's doing up, good.
Ted? How you doing, Chip?
Very well, sir.
Huh?
So very well, sir.
Doing good. We're just watching this shark on the TV up here where this captain goes and gaffs the shark and pulls him in the boat. Looked like he's about, what, 5 foot maybe?
Yeah.
And as soon as he got him in the boat, the shark just grabbed a hold of his leg and took a big chunk out of his leg.
Big old chunk out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like I tell people all the time, you know, bull sharks, I don't care if they're 3 foot long. I ain't going to put a bull shark in the boat.
Yeah.
Them things are so mean. God, they're so, I mean, they just snap, 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 you know.
Yeah, I know. I heard that the drumsticks are pretty good.
That shark must think they are. Boy, I'm telling you.
I'm glad to hear your wife is doing better.
Yeah, we got her stitches out Wednesday, so the swelling's finally going down and all. So, you know, I was wondering, we also talked to the doctor about how long the rods were that they put in there. The screws are actually, I didn't realize this, the screws are actually bigger than the rods, but, you know, yeah, them things are like 2 inches long, you know.
Yeah, they go all the way through to that bone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's so wild.
I've been praying for Chip's mom, too, and I hope things has been going good with that.
Yeah, she's hanging in there. Thank you very much. It's, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say my son, he's over. He said he enjoyed your conversation with him.
I like your son. It's good to see him every once in a while when I'm over there. I'm over there a lot. So
he's a funny guy. He's a big fella. He's bigger than I am.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's strong as an ox, too.
Wow.
That's funny.
Did you see that picture I sent you of that boat lit up?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, Chris and I went fishing that morning, and we went across the river there and saw that whole side was lit up. And the water even was, like, you could see the water had the reflection of all the lights off of it, and it was just lit up there. I said, well, we might catch us a trout over there. Got one bite there, and that's it. Then we moved around the pilings of the bridge there and found some croaker. So now when I get ready to take my grandson out, I know where a few croakers are sitting anyways.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be bigger this year because, you know, it looks like it's going to be a good shrimp run. I know the croaker run last year only lasted about a week and a half.
Yeah,
it was really, I mean, I know a lot of people talking about it being so strange. I've seen it like that before when we have tropical storms and get a lot of rain south of us. When we get a lot of rain here, it doesn't affect us as much, you know, because we got a good flushing going on since we got, you know, two high tides and two low tides within about 25 and a half hours or so. So, you know, we got quite a bit of flushing going on, but what really hurts us up here is when we have that rain like 150, 200 miles, you know, south of us. And, but anyway, looks like we're going to have some more rain, you know, coming in on us today because they're talking about this stuff coming in, swirling, yeah, right, you know, swirling right around into the northeast part of Florida. And I hope it don't muddy that water up very much, but I'm seeing where they're increasing the chance of rain for tomorrow too now. So I don't know what that's going to happen, but you know, we'll have to see. And when we get all that rain down south of us, it flushed that shrimp out. And you know, people looking at normally, I guess, thinking about, you know, the shrimp run, how, you know, well, the shrimp's gone, we'll just have to fish for something else or whatever. But man, when that shrimp is flushed out of this river too early, it changes this entire river.
Mm-hmm. I remember that that year it did that, and there was no shrimp up in the river.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. It changes the entire river. It changes the whole ecosystem because, you know, these fish have different areas where they stage depending on the tides, how that shrimp runs, stuff like that. Excuse me. But
in my croaker hole that wasn't a croaker in it that year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, we started catching them last year, and the run was only like a week and a half, and then they were gone. I mean, just gone. You know, and you know, usually they're in here about 4 or 5 weeks, and you know, we also, whenever you're down there fishing for croakers in these areas, you have, since there's so much shrimp in those areas, you have, you know, usually black drum, mangrove snapper, sheep's head. You know, we usually catch all of those species in the same spots. But last year, it just, you know, all of a sudden we catch, you know, some nice croakers, and then boom, next thing I know, we're catching catfish and pinfish. And when you're catching catfish and pinfish, there ain't many croakers around.
Yeah, they leave. Isn't that weird? You start catching catfish, the croakers are gone.
Yeah, it just seems like they, I think the croakers just get to the bait too, you know, faster than the catfish is what it is. But, you know, when they're in there. But yeah, hopefully this will be a good year for all of that. And, yeah, you know, and the speckled trout and the yellowmouth trout. You know, last year we didn't even see the first mangrove snapper. And I talked to a bunch of people who never saw a mangrove snapper last year. And we've already started seeing them this year. So
yeah,
this is early, too. I mean, so I'm looking at, you know, being a pretty good year for them, hopefully. Pretty good season for them. Inshore, I'm talking, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that I can get my grandson out there and put him on some of those croaker with some ultralight tackle.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll have a blast.
Oh, yeah, he will, because they'll double ultralight, they'll double that rod over.
Was it 2 years ago we had that good croaker run that we were out there and they were just insane, big ones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, a 3-pound croaker or a 2.5-pound croaker, they'll fight like a 5-pound redfish. I mean, those things can pull, you know. And they're good to eat, you know.
Yeah, if you catch a mess of them, that's an awesome cook.
It is. That was something my dad loved to catch. My dad loved that.
Yeah, that's good. Them and whiting.
Yeah.
I like those. Those are awesome.
Yeah, we used to go to him and I used to go to Nassau Sound a lot, and when the whiting were in good, him and I'd go out there a lot.
I'm gonna try that spot you told me about out there with him next weekend. I'm hoping thinking it's next weekend that he's him and his daddy want me to take him.
What you gonna try for? The whiting?
The whiting, and I might take a sabiki rig and drop it around the pylons there on that the old fishing bridge. Can't get on no more.
Yeah.
And right there at Salt Pit, and see if I can catch some little pinfish and toss them out there and see what I come up with.
Probably some sharks.
Sharks and tarpon. Yeah.
Especially out there in Nassau.
Well, yeah. Those bonnet heads are good eating, though.
Yeah, but you won't catch a bonnet head on a pinfish. You catch them on a half a piece of shrimp or a crab, you know, a quarter of a crab. They just don't like that. They don't like that cut bait. But I tell you, you can go out there just with dead shrimp, and if they're decent sized shrimp, just cut them in half. And man, let me tell you, them bonnet heads, you know, they'll get on it. And then, of course, while you're catching whiting, it always happens. You know, you wind up, you know, if you're reeling it in not really fast or whatever, tarpon's going to find him after you catch, you know, quite a few of them. Tarpon's going to get in on him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
He'll have a blast for that, wouldn't he?
Yep.
So, well, I will let y'all go.
All right. Appreciate it, Ted.
And I'll see if I can get Chris to go down there and get some of them fritters down there next to Strike Zone there.
Oh, yeah. Is that what y'all going to do today?
I was hoping to. I was going to see if he wanted to ride out there with me and get some. Those are some good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Good luck, man. Thanks for your call.
All right. We'll see y'all later.
All right. Tell Gail I said hey.
All right. Bye-bye.
222-8255. The number of calls. We got one more segment here. Boy, it goes by so fast.
Real fast.
And you got some questions for Captain Chip Wingo, give us a call. And got any tarpon questions? He's been, you already took that off your Facebook page there now. He has some pretty good video of catching tarpon, him, Leon, Dana out there. So, but anyway, give us a call. We'll be back after this.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning.
That's a pretty cool fish that Tommy caught.
Mercer. Yeah, talk about that a minute. Dude.
Well, from what I gather, Tommy Mercer. You should know Tommy from Strike Zone and fishing around here for a long time. He's a great guy, but he has a pending red hind. It says world record. I'm not sure if it's a world or state record. That was almost 9 pounds, which is, I've never seen one over a couple pounds. I'm fishing offshore, but that's pretty cool. You know, there are some real big fish out there still, obviously. But, you know, then they caught that huge swordfish out of Comanche Cove not too long ago, too. And then there was a monster wahoo caught. I think that was over 100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just amazing the different fish we have. You know, a lot of people,
a lot of people
look at the state of Florida and they look at fishing and they look at the Keys and they look at the west coast of Florida and the water and all this. When you think about what Jacksonville has to offer as far as a fishery, from bass fishing all the way out to marlin fishing, we have a phenomenal fishery here.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most underutilized as far as a destination to travel to for for charters.
It is.
We have a great fishery.
Yeah. And you think about it, from here, you could go offshore,
mm-hmm.
inshore saltwater, freshwater. I mean, absolutely. it's so great. But City of Jacksonville is just blind to it. They just have no idea what they have here.
I mean, we have a huge river system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at from all the way from Palatka all the way down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you look at, you know, what we're able to catch, the volume of fish we're able to catch, the variety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have everything from, you know, brim to, you know, marlin,
yeah.
and, you know, our snook fisheries bouncing back. I mean, we've caught quite a few. It's not a big target industry,
mm-hmm.
or targeted fish, rather, but you look at the amount of fish we have, and, you know, they do migrate with the shrimp runs, and they move around here and there, but, I mean, it's amazing the fish we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like, in the last month, I look at the variety of fish I've caught on charters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from tarpon, you know, sharks to, you know, reds, trout, you know, mm-hmm. the mangrove snapper are showing back up. Our flounder are firing off right now really well. You know, Rob Hoglund had one that was almost 10 pounds the other day when he was fishing with one of his buddies. So it's like, you know, our fishery, you know, needs to be protected. And that's why we talk about limits on them as well. But, you know, if more people knew about it, you know, it's just amazing.
We have, you know, not all of our customers are catch and keep.
No.
You know?
No.
And that's one of the things, you know, we have people from out of state, even out of town, but a lot of them out of state that come here and catch and release.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that are here in town that catch and release. I mean, you know, so it's not like we're going out and, you know, actually trying to fill the cooler every day.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, a lot of that is trying to get the limits on these fish. I try to understand everybody's point of view.
Absolutely.
You know, when they first started talking about going up to two per person on the redfish, I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, I think our redfish could sustain that. What I was looking at is somebody goes out in a kayak, might mm-hmm. have a family of four, and he catches a 21-inch red, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's he going to do? I mean, then he's got to wait till he goes fishing again to catch another fish to have dinner. So I'm thinking, okay, two reds, not a problem. You know, now I'm to the other side of it where I'm like, man, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to go down to one red again like it was. I think it wouldn't be bad at all to go up to like 14, 15-inch on a flounder.
Yeah.
You know, and cut that limit instead of 10 per person like they did the sheephead. I mean, really, when you think about the sheephead, at 15 per person, you know.
That's a lot.
But when I start talking about it on here, a lot of times I get these messages and text or emails. It's like, you know, man, you're trying to shut down my fishing. I don't get to fish that much and this and that and the other thing. No, I'm trying to make it, or I'm thinking about, you know, I want my granddaughter to go out here and go fishing. I want my great-grandson that's up in Georgia. I want him to come down here and go fishing.
Well, a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of us guides that offer a 10% discount to our charters for catch and release mm-hmm. only. You know, Leon does it. I do it. I know mm-hmm. Buzz does it. There's a lot of guides out there. You know, we like to fish. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean I want to fill the box every time.
Right. And the thing about it is I don't want to hurt the fishery. I don't, you know, it's like, well, you know, you go out there and catch all these fish. No, I don't want to hurt the fishery because I want this to be a, you know, sustainable fishery from now on. You know what I mean?
I think that one of the things that happened with redfish, and I could be totally wrong by saying this, but when they shut down snapper,
mm-hmm.
people were, and a lot of guys have bay boats that can fish for snapper. Now, if you want to go out and put some meat on the table and you have four guys on your boat and you mm-hmm. come back inside and you can catch eight redfish and
right.
keep them
mm-hmm.
from 18 to 27 inches,
mm-hmm.
you know, when snapper got shut down, well, redfish is a very, you know, tasty fish that people like to eat.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to transition right into inshore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't keep the snapper. You can't hardly keep anything offshore. So let's go inshore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're able to catch something to keep. So
right. mm-hmm.
I think it all needs to be a balance.
It does.
And Taylor made a good point with looking at all of the fish.
Yeah.
Because if you put a strain on one side,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, they're seeing it with the small Goliath groupers too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were talking about putting a slot limit on those. You know, it's the big ones you keep for your breeders.
Yeah.
Your middle, you know, you have a slot limit, and those are the ones. And then you have, you know, a way to regulate it. But it's an argument you'll never win on either side because of our opinions.
Yeah, because if everybody has the different opinion about it. And, you know, with me, myself, I'm just like looking at, okay, like you got the snapper. They have been protected for so many years now that imagine what they're eating.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
They're eating all the small beeliners, all the small sea bass, everything that they can eat. I mean, that's what they do.
We were using croakers for bait down south. I mean, big croakers, too.
Yeah.
You know, 12-inch-plus croakers. And those big snapper eat them like they're M&Ms. I mean, you know, and, I think when we put regulations on some fish in different ways and we tilt that scale to one side,
exactly,
it could do more damage. I mean, you look at what a Goliath grouper eats. Rob had a great video with him shooting a snapper and then fighting a Goliath off his off his stringer with it. You know, I mean, they eat big fish. And, you know, it's I think we need to look at, you know, a balance and do it that way. I mean, you've seen the snapper. I've seen the snapper. I don't understand why you get a 5-day and then you look at the fish that are clean and they all had roe in them. It's like, is this the spawn for them when you opened it up for the season and they were taking all the spawners out? But I mean, when I was down south,
a design, you know, for that so that they're not building any, you know, the fishery's not getting bigger and bigger like it has been or whatever. Because they did change the time of the year.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, down south, when we fished in 150 feet of water. And I say down south, that was off Canaveral. I don't think we caught one fish that was under 14, 15 pounds. They were all huge. And up to, I think the biggest one we got was like 24. You know, but I'm like, that is insane that there's that many. And we pull up on a wreck and look at the bottom recorder, and it was 20 feet off the bottom, just stacked.
Yeah.
And that's all we caught other than a 44-pound kingfish.
Well, you know, here also, they'd be out there trying to catch kingfish on a flat line.
And catch a snapper.
And catch a snapper. I mean, in growing up, in your lifetime, have you ever done that?
No. No. Well, you know,
you
I remember.
You had to get that bait down to get a snapper. You know what I mean?
I can remember, you know, offshore chumming when you used to chum for the kings a lot. And then all of a sudden the snapper come up in the chum line. You know, and then you can see them. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow. And then they'll hit one on the surface. But, you know, to go out and. You can't catch a kingfish because you're getting hammered by a snapper is crazy. But, you know, it's like I said, it's one of those things. If we get, we have to be proactive in it. And, you know, it's.
Well, and if we don't speak up, they are going to do what they want to do. And they also, the people who speak up are Wildlife Defense Fund, PETA, you know, all these people that want to shut it down. That's who's speaking up.
Well, the organizations that we donate to, like CCA and everything else, I want to see them get on this and back us up on a lot of this stuff, especially the Okeechobee stuff. You know, but anyway, I love your show, Vic. Thanks.
I appreciate you coming in, man.
It's always fun.
Put your phone number out there.
It's 904.
And you know it, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. It's 904-614-4989, and that's fishduhflats.com.
That's 904-614-4989. So give Captain Chip Wingo a call, and I'll be back next week. Good fishing, everybody.